Welcome back to The Owl's Nest. It's Harford Community College's official podcast, cluing you in to faculty, students, and staff, and things going on in and around the campus here at Harford Community College. In this episode, HCC student Alex Langford speaks with Sue Knaus, president of Upper Chesapeake Bay Pride, about the 2022 Pride Festival. Let's listen in.
All right, Sue. Well, welcome to WHFC. It's really good to have you here. Could you give us a rundown on like who you are and what you want to talk about here today?
Sure. My name is Sue Knaus, and I'm the president of UCB Pride and one of the founding members of UCB Pride. And I'm here to kind of talk about our festival and the things that our organization has done and is hoping to do in the future for our community, our LGBTQ plus community.
Cool. And could you tell us a little bit about the festival?
Sure. The festival, we are in our fourth year. We've done, 2 years live, 1 year online, totally streaming during COVID, and then this is our fourth year. And it is from 2 to 6 on October 8th at the Concord Point Lighthouse in Havre de Grace, and it is going to have lots of entertainment, almost 100 vendors, which is mind-blowing, and some amazing sponsors and entertainment, and it's just a real opportunity for our community to find connection and find each other and support and just a lot of fun.
Yeah, the community definitely needs that. It can be a little bit kind of hard to get in contact, you know, when you're a member of the LGBT community, because a lot of us still have kind of guards up, I guess. So that having these opportunities to go kind of freely meet and have fun, you know, with other people we have things in common with, is that's really important.
Yeah.
And it's really touching, and I'm glad you're doing that kind of work.
Thank you. And we have a lot of families that come out, allies. What's really amazing is to see how many families come out, parents, siblings of the LGBTQ community that have kids, teens, and they just enjoy the heck out of the day because they also find connection as well as parents and family trying to support their kids.
Yeah.
And it's just really amazing, the love and the connection and community that comes from that.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. I haven't been to one myself, but I do intend to go to this upcoming one,
right,
which makes this really exciting. Now, there was another interesting bit about the festival. We're going to be having a keynote speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Paula Nera.
Yes.
I did a little bit of looking up what her, I guess, what her deal is, and mm-hmm. I was really impressed. Could you tell us some more about her so the audience can?
She's amazing. She went to the Naval Academy, graduated from there, served in Desert Storm. I think she got 3 awards, commendations while she served. And then after she left, she became a registered nurse and worked in that field. And then she got her law degree and joined the legal team that repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And right now, she's an amazing advocate for the community, especially the transgender community. She works for Johns Hopkins. She was appointed on one of the boards for Johns Hopkins that talks about inclusion and goes all over the country and speaks about how to take care of in a, you know, in a nursing or, you know, medical care way. So it's really amazing. And I was lucky enough to have dinner with her a couple weeks ago. And wow, she's brilliant and kind and generous and smart. Oh my gosh, I almost started taking notes at the dinner table. But just really approachable, smart, and brings a lot of different viewpoints into the table. And given her role in repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and you know, her life story, brings about a perspective and a view, you know, a broader view of what's going on in our current culture.
For sure, for sure. And that's increasingly necessary as, you know, the community becomes more open and more present.
Because
mm-hmm. there is kind of that, you know, historic undercurrent of us having to play kind of subtle.
Right.
And it's really nice to see as our culture kind of opens up a little bit to see more like public and visible, you know, the, I guess just the presence.
Right.
Know? Like I'm kind of struggling to find the right words to describe it, but there's definitely been a shift as far as I felt it mm-hmm. in terms of just, maybe it corresponds with me getting older and more in tune with myself, but mm-hmm. I also just kind of notice around, like, society seems to be doing a little bit better with this sort of stuff than it has growing up.
Right. And studies show, I think it's like at 72 to 75% of Americans support marriage equality. So, you know, I don't think we're going back. And I think part of that has been this shift of people coming out and, you know, being in families and communities and being out makes you realize, oh, they're just like me. They're just trying to raise their kids. They're trying to figure out how to pay the mortgage. There's nothing spectacular about them, and that they're good people and they have good morals like I do. And I think that that coming out process is so important, especially people such as Paula and other really highly visible figures and smart people, to change that and to see that we're just regular people trying to live regular lives and are good, kind, and compassionate people.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of, because the image has always been like, you know, like, well, not that. And it's always, mm-hmm. it's been kind of the thing to kind of, not necessarily fight, but to kind of, I guess, work against, is to show that we are just kind
right.
of normal people with, you know, good hearts that are just trying to kind of get by.
And yeah.
That's really important. And, you know, as a younger queer person, that means a lot to me mm-hmm. to see this kind of stuff like cropping up and growing
right.
and being more present throughout the community, because there was a time where it was like, oh, if I want to meet people who are like me, I've got to go into Baltimore, I've got to go mm-hmm. into Philly, I've got to go, you know, up to New York or something.
Right.
And to see it kind of, these little spaces show up in the kind of local area makes mm-hmm. it feel a lot less cramped, mm-hmm. hostile, like in the in-between spaces,
right.
you know, places like, you know, Harford County, Cecil County,
right.
Havre de Grace, the places where people do just kind of live and might not have had the numbers to, you know, really kind of make that wave.
Right. And we found, I think it's international after coming out of COVID, finding connection and community and together spaces is so important. And, you know, we tried to get committees together and try to organize and find out what people wanted from the community, what kind of spaces. And really, over and over again, they said, we just want to hang out.
Yeah.
You know, we want a game night. We want a coffee date. You know, we want a happy hour. We just want to hang out. We don't even have an agenda
yeah.
just to be in space together. And I think that that has, I mean, I think, you know, like I said, throughout internationally, I think people coming out of COVID, but I think even more so now for our community, finding spaces together is so important, and connection, and realizing that, you know, Zoom is great and it really has kept our country going, but at the end of the day, I just want to sit with you and have coffee.
Right, exactly. And that's really important, and I'm glad there are people in your position kind of trying to make that change possible and to kind of, like, actualize it in, mm-hmm. like, a local and, like, keenly felt way.
Right.
Now, there was actually a little tidbit when you were coming in that I thought was really interesting about why this festival is going to be on the 8th in October. Could you tell us about that again?
Sure. Well, when we... We did have it in June the first year, and then going into the second year, we, you know, we're trying to find a spot for it, and we don't want to take away any of the other Pride events, Baltimore, D.C., Philadelphia, you know, we're right in the middle of that area, and trying to land on a date was really, like, head-scratching. So, actually, it was I think it was post-COVID, we were trying to find a date. And we're like, well, and with COVID happening and still not sure where it was going to land in April, March or April, and we needed time to get our entertainers lined up, our vendors, our sponsors, and so on, we thought, why not National Coming Out Day? And we're like, bingo, that's it. And so we did it last year in October. I think it was October 9th, just to kind of coincide with National Coming Out Day as a real celebration of that. And everybody really responded to it well, because we have a different kind of pride. We have a more family-focused pride. We don't serve alcohol, and just relax. And it was just a fun way to do that. And if you want to do all that and do all the stuff, you know, you can still go to Philly, you can go to Baltimore, D.C., and enjoy those. But, you know, we kind of wanted to really plant our flag there and say, National Coming Out Day, let's celebrate it, especially in Cecil and Harford County.
Yeah, no, for sure. That was a really clever idea. That's why I wanted you to kind of reiterate that on mic, because I thought that was, the symbolism there is very touching.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked about the festival and kind of the general vibe of the festival, but you've mentioned entertainers and vendors and that sort of thing. Like, are there any specifics in that regard that could be notable or exciting?
Well, I think this year we have a really great mix. We have drag queen shows, because they always get the crowd going and have really high energy. We have several performers from Baltimore. And we also wanted to be diversified, so we have people of color coming. There's one gentleman coming from Baltimore who's recognized. So we're going to have music performances, drag shows. There's a magician coming as well. So a little bit of everything for everybody. So just a real good mix of diversity.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a nice little, like, cozy kind of, I don't want to say block party vibe, but sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
It actually, coincidentally, too, it happens that, I was talking to Paul, and he told me that Melissa Etheridge is going to be there, too, at the same time.
Well, let's put it this way. We're hoping she comes to visit us, and we have reached out to her. She will be performing that evening as a separate event, as a fundraiser. UCB Pride is pretty staunch about not being nonpartisan, mm-hmm. So it is a fundraiser, and so it's not necessarily associated with us, but it's an amazing after party, and we're kind of hoping and coaxing. We've talked to Heather Mazur's campaign, you know, can we get Melissa down here? You know, we'd love for her to come and speak, because part of the theme of this year's event is get engaged and go vote. You know, it's October 8th.
Mm-hmm.
A month before elections, the midterm elections, and as I said, we're a nonpartisan event, but we have to encourage our community to get engaged, to vote, to get informed. So all of our speakers and you know, the theme behind our event is get engaged and go vote, because it really matters. And we can't tell you who to vote for. But we're hoping that Melissa will come and encourage people to go out and vote, because especially when you live in Harford and Cecil County, a lot of times you think, oh, my vote doesn't matter, it doesn't count, you know, we know who's going to win. And I think we saw in Kansas, I think we saw in Georgia last year, that you can make a difference by just showing up.
Oh, for sure. Places that are a lot more committed one way or the other, mm-hmm. have flipped pretty hard lately.
Yep, and so. I think there's enough going on in the national scene to wake people up to that, and also recognize and acknowledge showing up matters. I think in Kansas, they said, you know, usually they have about 28% people that show up to vote. They had over 52% show up and vote. So that's all we're wanting, is to really make yourself known.
Yeah, no, that's important, and it kind of ties right back into the aspects of, like, queer identity, or just mm-hmm. identity in general, to stop being repressed and to kind of, like, let yourself be known. That's mm-hmm. that's a really good theme.
Yeah.
I like that as, like, a heart for this whole circumstance.
Yep, indeed.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. We've talked about the event a little bit, and we've talked about some of the surrounding context, but could we get a little bit more information about you yourself and UCB Pride as an organization?
Sure. I don't know what you want to know about me. I live in Havre Grace, and I love it there. I've been there. Actually, I closed on my house almost 1 month to the day after the Pride, first Pride Festival. So that was a crazy time for me. So I felt like I could handle anything at this point. And I live in Havre de Grace, and I have a son, a 10-year-old, that I share custody with my ex-wife, and so busy doing that. And, you know, the origins of UCB Pride were that there were just five women, and we said, how come we don't have a Pride in this area? Delaine Lewis, who is an amazing woman, mentor, friend of mine, was really the driving force behind it, and she has been involved in the progressive politics of Harford County for some time, and she had a vision, and she wanted to make it happen, and there were several of us. Winnie Roche is another one, and we just said, we're going to make this happen. And we showed up. I'll never forget that feeling. We showed up that morning, and we were standing at the police barricade. They had put up the barricades. And I looked at Delaine, and she was there with her husband, and we looked at each other and said, we don't know if there's going to be 5 people, 50 people, 500 people. We had no idea because, you know, we weren't sophisticated. We just put stuff up on Facebook, and we weren't sophisticated enough to have Eventbrite or, you know, anything like that. So we're like, we don't know. And, you know, our food vendors are, after we got done, our food vendors were like, you need more food vendors. And it was amazing. They estimated about 3,000 people that first year.
Wow.
And it blew us away. We were over the moon. It was just so awesome. And this is why we do it. I mean, we're just facilitators of a community that needs to be heard, and a community that needs to be seen, and a community that needs to be together. And so to be a facilitator and a part of that process is just an amazing feeling. And so that's what we've been focused on, the Pride event, but we definitely have wanted to, we heard from the community and we saw from the community needing more to serve the community. So part of what we're doing is, you know, we're working with another group to possibly open up a center to be named later. Information, we provided scholarships to LGBTQ plus community members that are going to here at Harford Community College and Cecil College. I was just at a breakfast Wednesday for that. And we want to be invested in, we want to be a resource and a platform for other, and I'm going to use the term loosely, queer, that in community, I hope it doesn't offend anyone, but as a member of the queer community, I can own it. But we want to be a platform for other people and other organizations that offer those services, and a place that they can come and find out more resources. Where, you know, Ashley Treatment Center has been an amazing partner to us this year. I mean, they set up a matching campaign for our scholarships. A major sponsor to our event, and they offer services for addiction treatment for our queer community. And so being able to network and provide those kind of resources is where UCB Pride sees its future, not just an event.
Is there anything else I just want to be able to offer you guys the kind of mic for a second?
Sure. I mean, first of all, we're looking for volunteers. So if people want to volunteer, we would love, you get a free t-shirt. Yay. So you get a free t-shirt, and volunteers are what really make our event work.
Mm-hmm.
We have had an amazing experience with volunteers. We are forever grateful for our sponsors, HCC, Ashley Treatment Center, UUFHC, which is I go to the Unitarian Church here in Churchville, amazingly supportive community. St. John's in Episcopal Church in Havre de Grace is our host sponsor. Without them, we couldn't get a festival. They always sign off on being you need a, because we're not really like in a location, so to speak, not yet. So we need someone from the city to sponsor us on our application, and St. John's has always been first and foremost to do that. So, you know, this is, like I said, this is really about us facilitating people who are trying to find ways to support our community, and we're just the facilitators for it. kind of like, you know, a medium. We're a medium. And all these spirits of people who are trying to support us and want to make a difference in our community and trying to find a way to do it. And we're just facilitators for that. And we're open to ideas. We're open to people who want to have space for us. Bel Air Games is amazing. Michael Moore owns that shop. And that we just had a game night. People are wanting to help and find ways. So, you know, we definitely need more volunteers, and we would love to hear from people who want to step up and be on the board or be on committees to expand these services. There's only five of us on this board, and so we really need people who say, oh man, I think we need a social group. Okay, then you're in charge. So people that have those ideas to get involved, let us know, reach out to us.
Yeah, it's really good to know that you guys are being that open and community-driven. I'm also really pleasantly surprised that there's such a good cooperation going on between this organization and a church. Like, not to be kind of like, but it's just there's always been kind of a schism there. So to know that we're being, or the organization is being, not just like accepted, but sponsored by a church, that's very heartwarming to me.
Right. Yeah, in my previous life, I did a lot of social justice work around spiritual violence, and you know, personally, I kind of believe that a lot of the root of what we have to deal with is based in the spiritual violence by some religious organizations, and I think there are a lot of religious organizations now that are going out of their way to make amends for it and to be safe places for our community to heal. You know, my first year on the board, you know, a lot of churches wanted to come, and I was like, but those dialogues are important. It's important for our community members to find that connection, find that healing, find that safe space. Maybe it's with the church of their origin, or maybe it's a new church, but we're all spiritual beings, and I think finding ways and people and communities that support our spiritual path is really important.
Yeah, it's a matter of unification. It's a matter of healing. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of being able to bring back to our core all of those things that represent home that have been either hidden from or taken from us to some degree.
It's a way of having agency over your own spiritual walk, you know, whatever it's saying, and having these churches there who really have a heart for our community and making a difference and finding ways to serve. And I can tell it from the people I talk to, the pastors I talk to, you know, it's, you know, they're really committed to finding safe space for our community.
I don't mean to cut any of this short, but this has been a beautiful conversation, and I'm so glad to have been able to meet you and to give us a space to talk about the event.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening today to The Owl's Nest. Hope you had fun. Please remember to like and subscribe our three podcasts here at Hartford Community College: HCC 360, WHFC Presents, and Feedback. Keeps you in the loop when new content is up and available. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.